Jesus, for including me in the house that you're building today. Keep your hand on me, from my spirit set me free, for in this precious place I want to stay. Your
Trust.
then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great.
it seems to be Jesus. You're getting sweeter all the time. And it seems that my worries have eased from my mind. And the sweetest dew from heaven is falling all around. And the glory of the Lord is coming down. Yes, it seems to me, Jesus, you're getting sweeter all the time. And it seems that my worries have eased in my mind. And the sweetest dew from heaven is
one service this morning, and you don't think that's doesn't feel like a lot until you walk in the doors and feel like you've been gone a month. I don't really have a whole lot to say tonight except for that I am thankful for what we feel here. And, you know, when you go to another city, you know, whether you're in one of their church services or not, you just think there's a different feel sometimes in the city. And I think that within where we have a, where our home base is, we almost have a certain covering over the city. I mean, I felt that. You know, I've been through Memphis. I've been through Houston, Dallas, been through big cities and this. And, but there's something about coming back home. And I'm thankful for what we have here. Many times, you know, I take it for granted. You just go through the humdrum, so-and-so, you know. I was talking, we spent the night last night in Dallas and we were talking about their church services and our church services and how you sit around and, you know, everybody kind of waits for somebody else to get up and you feel the tension build. Who's going to get up? Who's going to get up? Who's going to get up? And then somebody gets up and it's like, oh, everybody just relaxes. And then so, and I don't want to be that one that relaxes. I want to do my part. And I do feel honored to be here in this city of refuge. I mean, many times I've gone back to that and think, you know, where could I go if I didn't have, you know, this to fall back on? And I know that's probably the way I should look at it. It's something to fall back on. But, you know, when you're going through your work week and, you know, you think that the church is the farthest thing away from your mind. As you go through your trials and tests and everything, all you hear is bad news. And, you know, the scripture in, I'm trying to remember, it says, his heart, he shall not fear evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And I think of that scripture every time an email pops up on my screen. And I, even before I see who it's from, or especially when I see who it's from, oh, that's never bad. That's never good news. Ever, ever good news. But if I trust in the Lord, I won't fear those evil tidings. I won't. And I'm appreciative to God that He is, He's called me. You know, sometimes I, you think that the contribution that you're making is not much. But I remember one time I was going through a struggle here a few years back, and I was talking to Brother Junior Daves, and I asked him, I said, as far as I know, you have never been a head usher. You've never been a choir leader. You've never been a pastor of a church. You've never held any position that had a title attached to it in any way that I know of. I said, do you consider yourself a minister? And what do y'all think he said? He didn't even hesitate. Of course I am, because I'm a servant. So, that's my prayer today, that I want to be a servant no matter what it is. I mean, it may be, you know, something as simple as spraying Roundup in the church parking lot. Right, and it actually comes from the word, the Greek word for deacon, which means, it's diakonos, which means to serve. And that's what I have a tendency to forget sometimes that we all have a ministry. You know, Brother Smith told me years ago, and I've never forgotten this, and I've even put this out there. I was on a motorcycle forum the other night, and they had a thread going in this forum about, what's wise things that people have said to you over the years. And one of the things I posted in this forum is what Brother Smith told me years ago when he first moved down here. Said, service ever need as it arises, and you'll find your ministry. And, you know, that was Greek to these people. They're like, what? That's fine. It meant something to me. So I appreciate God for letting me come this way, and I appreciate y'all.
Someone get up that relieves the pressure, so I'll relieve the pressure. But anyway, we went to this on our way. Well, the wedding went to Dallas Friday night and evening. Of course, we were thinking we'd get there church would be over. Matter of fact, we didn't even know if we'd get there before church. We thought we'd church. You know, we didn't go dress for church, so because we figured we wouldn't make it in time. So anyway, we get in there and we look out and people's out praising God and shouting, and we thought, church not over. So anyway, we went in, and it was a good move of spirit. I was hearing Sister Ann give a report of it, and she said that only one person spoke that night, and they start singing, choir sang, and I guess some other song they had. But anyway, when we came in, it was good worship service. I mean, really, I thought, man, this is good. You know, come in, start the service like this. You know, just, you know, we didn't get in on much of it. But anyway, what we got in on was very good and uplifting. I could, you know, Brother Kennedy talked at the end of it, and he was talking about, of course, he was saying he thought it was Saturday night, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, he was talking about come back Sunday with you and high, you know, hopes of good service, and I think he said whatever. But anyway, he was excited, and it was that this last song. Brandon's not here, but I will quiz Brandon on that last song they sang about the Holy Ghost. Who was there? Anyway, Brett Black was there. You remember that name?
Yeah, I've got it.
It was a very good song. I mean, you know, it thought, you know, a little different. I mean, but it was a little peppy song, but it was real good. And I felt really good, a good spirit. And you know, just like I said, you know, weddings is not one of my big things I, you know, want to spend a lot of time doing. But anyway, but it was, you know, to be going to a wedding, to feel such a good spirit of the Lord there. I mean, it was really a good service that Friday night. And I was, you know, if it wasn't anybody other than Brother Philip, I mean, it was a good cause and you know, I mean, good people. You know, we got a good, you know, and Philip, and then the hopes, you know, Sister Chelsea. I didn't know a lot about her, but I did hear some good things about her from some people that from other places. From talking to a young man there from Houston that, you know, that lived next door to her father, and so anyway, some good things said about her. So anyway, it was good. Like I said, the service, you know, to go in there and not expecting to be in service and then being in on that too. So it was all good, and I'm just so thankful, you know, that, you know, you can be around good people that their hearts are to serve God. Like Brother Brett said, you know, that's what our ultimate goal is, to be servants. You know, if we can have that attitude, is to be servants in the kingdom of God. And if I can just accomplish that, you know, if that's what my goal is, and I hope that's what it is to want to serve God and his people. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you know, like the Bible talks about giving a prophet a drink of water. You know, sometimes, you know, we have to serve our ministers, you know, be able to lift up their hands. And I don't want to do anything to not lift up, you know, Brother Smith's hand and be a support to him and what he's doing. I appreciate it, even, you know, being over there in the Dominican Republic and get to see some of that work that he's involved in, and to see the people over there so excited about working for God. And I hope we don't, you know, lose any of that. You know, we don't want to, you know, Brother Smith told us today, you know, that we are where, you know, we can't go any faster than God take us. But we, you know, our interest level, our enthusiasm, you know, I don't know how much of that God going to make us responsible for. You know, we can't progress or move his plan any faster than he's moving it. But I think our interest in God and the things of God, our enthusiasm, our zeal, you know, for the things of God, because I look every time I begin to consider my life, you know, I think, well, I probably have lived a lot longer than I'm going to live. So I know a lot of my living is behind me. So I can't, you know, I can't go back and recount those steps or redo any of that. But I can from this day forward. You know, I can begin to, if I need to step it up a notch, or like Brother Smith said, kick it up a notch, you know, if whatever we need to do, because, you know, I can't, you know, I can do more, you know, as far as my, and I think I love the things of God. I each day I can kind of feel that I have a greater love for the things of God, a love for God's people. And I know that, you know, I can't, you know, do more than God allow me, but I can have that want to. You know, I can have the desire in my heart, and I want to keep that. I don't want to ever lose my desire to serve God, and I want to do my part. You know, whatever that is that God wants me to do, I want to do that. And I don't want to, you know, being around, you know, some early days in this church and, you know, being around people, you know, ministers like Brother Tucker, he used to talk about, you know, not being enthusiastic when you, even when you get up and talk, you know, just, you know, what do you call it, mealy mouths and around, you know, I mean, he was kind of plain sometimes. But anyway, he made his point, and that's what, it, you know, we need to realize that, that God, you know, it's no limitations in God, and then if he's given me something to do, I should be able to do it. I want to believe that if he said it, then evidently he expects for me to do it, and I want to be able to be thinking that way. So I'm just thankful that we are out tonight in the house of God, and we're here to lift him up, worship him, and to be thankful in our hearts for where he's brought us to and where he's taken us. If we want to go, I want to go with God's people. I want to go where God is going. I want to try to be vigilant, you know, be watchful in the things of God. I used to be in, you know, in the military. We did a little bit of watching. You know, we was they call it guard duty, and I remember sometimes, you know, if depending on what you're guarding, you know, it might not be as important as other things. There was time when we were just guarding. They called the motor pool, you know, just the vehicle where they kept the vehicles. That was casual duty. You know, you didn't have any ammunition, you didn't have any guns, you didn't have any. You just out there, you know, guarding. But since I was overseas in Germany, we had nuclear warheads on our missiles. And when we was on guard duty with the nuclear warheads, we had rifles with around 20 bullets in it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you had real ammunition. It was no games. It was real ammunition. And of course, over there, they speak, you know, the Germans. Of course, those are the people that lived around the military base were Germans. So their word for stop is halt. You know, who goes there, you know. But anyway, you didn't ask questions. You just tell them, you know, you just said halt. And if they didn't halt, then you didn't ask any more questions. You know, they will halt, you know. But anyway, I remember the intensity or the level of intensity out there, you know, guarding those warheads. You know, you're out there and you just, you know, usually it's not in the people, so usually you didn't have any problem, but just the thoughts that go through your mind, you know, how serious this is. You know, you might have to shoot somebody, you know, if it got that serious, but thank God it didn't. But that's what it is. You know, this, I think about serving God, you know, this is, we're not carrying guns or whatever we may encounter some one of these days, but this is serious, though. That's what I'm getting at. This is serious. You know, this is serious. And our life depends on, you know, our spiritual life is dependent on upon what we do, you know, for God, how we respond to the things of God, and how I take this, and how I allow my heart to. We were singing today. Sister Lynette was singing a song about open. I think she said open our hearts or open our the windows open. You know, we have to be open. Our hearts have to be open to God. And in order to, you know, we have to, you know, you can work here and, you know, have things in your mind and do, but when it comes to God, you know, we have to be open to him, to allow him to direct our lives. You know, we have to open our, you know, no reservations, you know, no things in there, nothing hidden, you know, just, you know, open ourselves before God. You know, we are open before him anyway. You know, if we, you know, anyway, I know we, our lives are open to the Lord, but when you begin to have that attitude, you know, I might think I'm not open, but I am. But I want to think that I am open to God. I want to be open to the Lord. You know, I want my mind to be open to God. I want to work for the Lord. I want to be diligent about what God is doing. This is serious business, and I want to consider that, you know, working for God. It's nothing more important that I can be doing here in this world. You know, the time that God has given me, there's nothing more important that I could be doing. And I want to take it that way. I want to serve God. I want to give my heart to Him. I want to live for Him. So I'm thankful tonight that we have this opportunity, you know, to live for God. Just think about it. You know what I mean? Brother Smith was talking about this country, you know, that we live in. We, you know, it's based on, you know, the men that came over here. You know, they came to be able to come to a place to where they can have freedom of worship. You know, it's not that way so much. You know, it's getting worse and worse, but we still have an opportunity. We still can lift up God. We still can give our hearts to Him. You know, it's not too late. You know, it's not over. You know, so we can still lift up God. It's not too late, God. I thank You, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to be in a place, in a country that we can serve Him, that we can give Him our heart. So I'm thankful tonight to be here. Praise God.
Started out, and Brother Talley was talking to about being a servant, and anyway, the words of this song and ties into with Sister Lynette's chorus earlier today about having our hearts open and having the Lord come in and fill us. And so, anyway, I love this song, so I'm going to try this. Hinder me. cleanse and make me free. Your service is my heart's desire. Can I prove to you a faithful child? Oh, search me, Lord, I pray. I am willing to be changed. Make me Yeah.
today, Brother Durham put this microphone on upside down. I'm sorry to remind you that, Brother Durham. And it occurred to me why he did that is because when I put it together, I'm left-handed. And so when he put it on right-handed, which made it upside down. So, yeah. So I apologize, Brother Durham. But, you know, I'm thankful that I know the difference between my left hand and my right hand. But, you know, there's a lot of people in this world that don't. There's a lot of people in the world that we live in that have no comprehension of salvation. They don't understand who Jesus is. They don't understand why he would willingly give his life. They don't even understand that they're sinning. The Bible says where there's no law, there's no sin. But when the law doth come, sin doth abound. And so, I missed a few words in that scripture there, but a lot of people don't know that they're doing something wrong until somebody points it out to them. And the scripture said, I think Brother Smith quoted that this morning, said, how can they hear except there be a preacher? And how can they preach except there be sin? For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we know that, and then went on to say that we're saved by the foolishness of preaching. And that's not foolish preaching. It said the foolishness of preaching. We were in Tennessee a few months back, and we were in a museum there in Nashville, and they were recounting the history of churches. And they were mostly centered on the Methodist preachers that would ride through the communities on their horses, and they'd hold church services out in the woods, and they had this neat little backdrop of they had this backdrop, if you could envision, just a kind of a dark picture of dark woods and some lanterns hanging in the trees, and on this picture in the background you see some people sitting on just some old stumps, and then you see this man standing, and then they had this audio going of this preacher, an old, you know, time preacher, and preaching the word of God to these hillbillies in the hills of Tennessee. And so when I walked up on that, I thought I heard this gospel singing. I thought, well, that's odd. This is a state-funded museum. I did not expect anything like that. And I heard this gospel singing. Of course, that piqued my interest. And so I walked around the corner and saw this backdrop and waited just a second, and this audio started over again. Fireball preacher. You know, I can't even recall what he said exactly, but something to the effect of, friends, I too was a sinner, living an ungodly life, when one day I heard a preacher tell me about a man named Jesus Christ. And that day I gave my life to him. And I accepted him as my personal Savior. And you can just feel, you know, you can just feel the inspiration coming up in this man's voice. Of course, I wondered, you know, where they got the recording. And what inspired that display there in that state-run museum? I was thrilled with it. I was pleased to have seen it. But there's a lot of people, you know, the Word of God has been spread abroad by people who are willing, two kinds of people. People who are willing to share and people who are willing to receive. We're saved by the foolishness of preaching. And that, again, that's not foolish preaching. It's just the act or the inspiration or the unction of a person to get up and begin to deliver their heart, to begin to deliver a message that God has burned inside them so great, like it was with Brother Souders. It was so great he couldn't stop himself. He just couldn't resist. He just couldn't hold back when God was speaking to him. That he said, I want you to preach my gospel. There he was on that boat. And all those fishermen around him didn't have a clue what he was talking about. But he had such a desire, such a fire burning within him that he just had to share what he had received from God. And of course, there has to be people to receive it. Do you know, charity, if you don't have charity, you can't give it. But you can receive it. But the Bible says more blessed is it to give than it is to receive. But, so if you don't have it, don't fret. You can have it. Somebody's going to share it with you. Somebody's going to share this good news with you. If you're lacking good news, don't fret over that. Somebody's going to share the good news with you. Praise God. And you'll have good news to share. You might find yourself inspired to preach the Word of God. Give a testimony of how God had delivered you from a circumstance, or how God had saved your soul from the depths of sin, or how God had planted the Holy Ghost down in your life, and you came through speaking in an unknown tongue as the Spirit of God gave utterance. Praise God. You might just find yourself, after you've received, you might just find yourself willing to share. You might just find yourself acting a little foolish and sharing something about a God that you can't see, you can't touch, you can't put him in a box and give to anybody. The only way that you can share the gospel of Christ is to live it, to be an example, so that others can receive. What, how does that say what's that scripture? It says that, it's talking about how that we may glorify the Father of lights. Every good thing cometh from God. I apologize. I can't remember how that scripture. Every good gift comes from the Father of lights. But here we every perfect gift comes from above. Here we sit in this congregation, and we edify each other, and that's great. It's important. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's some people that do. There's some people that absolutely forsake it. They turn away from it. And they miss out on it. But we didn't tonight. We're here tonight. We're here receiving these songs and these good testimonies. We haven't forsaken the assembling of ourselves together tonight because God has something for us. He has something that we can receive, and he has something that we can share. Praise the Lord. And so, let's start out. There are people, apparently, that don't know their left hand from their right. If you would go to Jonah, the fourth chapter. I'm going to start at the back of the chapter, or back of the book, and try to work my way forward. Jonah 4 and 11. God is talking to Jonah. And he says, should not I spare Nineveh? that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. 120,000 people, and God's summation of them is they're not bright enough to know the difference between their left hand and their right hand. Can you imagine how Jonah felt when he probably knew that these people weren't very bright? Can you just imagine how he felt when God told him to go preach in Nineveh? He's probably thinking, really? These people are dumber than a bag of rocks. They don't even know the difference between their left hand and their right hand. And you want me to go preach to them about a complicated God? About sin? Things that they're doing wrong? Yeah, that's what I want you to do. That's exactly what I want you to do. Well, he didn't do it, did he? We know the story. He didn't do it. He hopped the ship to Tarsus, got caught out in the midst of the sea and a storm. But do you ever feel that way? Now look. I sat in this congregation too. So I'm not saying that y'all don't know the difference between the left and the right. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that I fit that category. So don't misunderstand me with the next thing I say. But do y'all ever feel like you're talking to somebody who absolutely has no clue about God? Who has no idea about salvation? They have no perspective. You don't even know where to begin. Well, let me tell you about God. Okay, well, we've got several of them. No. I'm not talking about all those. Well, but I've got, you know, a God for this and a God for that. And people do. If you don't think they do, you just start talking about their gods. Start talking about their football team. Oh, sorry. Basketball, yeah, thank you, brother. Yeah. Start talking about their, you know, whatever it is that they lift high. And you'll find out where their gods lie. And they'll go to defending them. Well, let me tell you about the God that created the heaven and the earth. That changes things. And that's what Jonah did. Here he was laying there in the ship, asleep. And a tempest came through, so much so that it was about to rip the ship apart. And so those men went and woke him up. They said, call on your God. He said, do you have a God? He said, yeah, I have a God. The God that I serve made the waters. How do you say that? He made the waters and the sea and the dry land. Thank you. Well, that was the end of story for them. They all their other gods that they've been thinking about, they didn't mean nothing. They want to talk about this God. They said, let's talk about the God that made the sea. I don't care about the dry land. I just want to get there. But let's talk about the God that made the sea that's about to tear this ship apart. I want to talk about your God. Well, that got their attention. And of course, Jonah told them, said, look, it's my fault. I should have done what he said. He told me to go talk to these people. They're dumber than a bag of hammers, and I decided not to. I got on this ship. I'm sorry, guys. I put you in this situation. And that's exactly how I have been at times. I have made other people around me very uncomfortable. Simply because I wasn't following the inspiration of the Lord. I know that. It happens. It happened to Jonah. I don't feel so bad about it. I mean, I do. I feel bad about it. But I know that it happens. And there's lessons to be learned. Isn't that right? Lessons. Somebody said that experience is the greatest teacher if you survive the lesson. Jonah almost didn't. So they said, okay, bud, you're out of here. He told him, he said, throw me over. And they didn't want to. They didn't want to throw him over. But you know, God had prepared, you guys know the story, God had prepared a big fish. I'm presuming it's a whale. It's big enough for Jonah to be in there and look around and recognize that he had seaweed wrapped around his head. They threw him over and this fish comes, swallowed him up, and here Jonah is. He found an altar to pray in the belly of the whale. He called it the belly of hell. Do you know you can find an altar to pray even when you're in the depths of the sea, the depths of despair? Even when you find yourself the lowest of the low, you can find peace and salvation in the Lord. And so Jonah, he said, when he was praying there, he prayed something that caught my attention today. In Jonah 2, it says, let's just start in the first verse, Jonah 2:1. It said, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. The floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. He said he recognized that God was just, he was fed up with him. And he said, I'm cast out of your sight. I know that I messed up, but I'm still going to look to your people. Do you know that that's another element of salvation that a lot of people overlook? A lot of people, they come to know the Lord, but then when they mess up or they make a mistake or they go against what God's inspiring them to do or instructing them to do, they don't turn back to God. They think, well, he's a great big, you know, judge. He's going to destroy me. He's out to get me. He's got this big old pit of fire down that they call hell that all the bad people go, and I'm just one of them, and that's it. But Jonah, he didn't just say, that's it. He said, I will look. He said, I'm cast out of that sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. Thank God that you have a place, Brother Brett mentioned, that you have a city of refuge to come to. Whenever you've felt like that you've just been cast out, that you there's no hope for you, you're praise God, you can still come to the house of God and find that peace and that forgiving power of Jesus Christ in your life. Hallelujah! And he said the waters compassed me about even to the soul, the depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped around my head. He said I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. He knew his life was coming to an end. He said, but yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. Now notice, this is what got my attention this morning, his prayer. He said, they that observe lying vanity, forsake their own mercy. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He said, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. A lying vanity. Now, to me, a lying vanity is someone like myself at times when I think that I can do it just within my own strength. That I have convinced myself that I've got it under control. I know what I'm doing. I can handle this. You know, I mentioned earlier, a few weeks back, that pride cometh before destruction, and haughty spirit before fall. When we catch ourselves in that moment of pride and haughtiness, just get ready. That fall is coming. When you find yourself in a moment of lying vanity, where you think that you just got it, that it's all under control, the fall is coming. And the next thing is you'll forsake. He said that you'll forsake thy mercy. That word there, I looked it up, it means kindness. And that's where I want to be, Brother Brett. I want to be just the opposite of that. I want to be the guy that understands that there's no good in me. And I want to be the guy that understands that there's no good in me. That I have, the only reason that I have good things is because God has blessed me. And it just so happens that there's a guy right here that doesn't. Or there's a guy right here that is doing without, maybe because of his upbringing. Maybe because he's not smart enough to know the difference between his left hand and his right hand. Maybe because of the community that he came from. Maybe because he's a victim of circumstance. But I still want to be the same. I don't want to lose my kindness, my mercy. I don't want to lose my gentleness, my charity for people that, if I'm not careful, I'll be despising. Do you ever? Sometimes I do this. Find myself, you know, you see somebody panhandling. Well, get a job. Or you see somebody that's, you know, driving an old ratty car. Well, they need to get a better job, or they need to spend their money better. Or I don't want to. I want to remove myself from the seat of the scornful. I don't want to lose my kindness. Jonah did. And you know, it took a trip for him out of the boat and into the whale's belly. It took a trip for him to realize that he had lost his love for the salvation of the Lord. But when he realized it, he prayed that prayer. And he said, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now somebody asked me the other day, said, what is that? What's that cartoon, Nemo? You know, can you speak well? No, I cannot speak well. I can't speak dolphin. I can't speak catfish. Now, I can say a few words when I eat catfish. Yeah. Few, though, because I'm usually just concentrating on eating. But I don't, you know, there's some people, you know, they say, you know, I read something the other day, fish tremble at the mention of my name. You know, I suppose. How do they understand your name? What does that sound like in fish? I don't know. But God spoke to the well. And the whale vomited Jonah out. What he said, I don't know. What the whale said back to God, I don't know. But it obviously wasn't a very pleasant experience for the whale. I mean, can we acknowledge that? How would you like to have Jonah in your belly? So the whale vomited Jonah out. And of course, you can read on about how that he went and preached to Nineveh. And then he got in trouble again. He got in trouble with a gourd. God, you know, Jonah, he was an interesting person. And I wonder sometimes if all of his experiences for the people that he witnessed to on the boat, for the whole 120,000 in Nineveh that he helped deliver, I wonder if all that wasn't for his own education. Jonah went and he preached to him, and the king, he snapped everybody into attention. He said, no one's eating, no one's drinking, not even the animals. We're going to change this situation. And then Jonah got mad. But he didn't just get mad. He went and laid down, and God blessed him with this mighty big gourd and come over and overshadowed him and gave him shade. And then the gourd died. And Jonah, here he was. He had just crawled out of a fish's mouth. And he says, and this gourd died. Of course, I don't have this problem. Some people do. But he had a bald head. And the sun was beating down on his head. And it might have burned his head. I don't know. It might have been tender up there. But he said, I would that I was dead. From the sun beating down on him. He went from asking God to deliver him from the belly of the fish to wishing he was dead because the sun was beating down on top of him. Jonah, he went through a whole range of emotions in that experience. And like I said, I don't know altogether as much if it was for him or for maybe everybody got a little bit out of that. But it sure impressed me where God said that, should I not spare? Now I'm going to ask you this question for your consideration. Should God not spare this sin? Should God not spare Little Rock? North Little Rock? Bryant? Benton? Conway? Mayflower? Should God not spare this area? I get frustrated. I get frustrated in this area. There's a lot of wickedness that goes on. There's a lot of ungodliness, and there's a lot of ignorance and intolerance. And it frustrates me. I think, man, all these people, people call, not just here in our area, but in Arkansas and even in the U.S., they call for the end of prayer. They don't want prayer in school. They don't want any reference of God. They don't want God mentioned in the courtroom. They don't want God mentioned in the operations of our Congress. They don't want God mentioned when they're swearing people into their office. They don't want God in anything. And I'm thinking, why wouldn't they want God? Don't they realize that it's the prayer and the integrity of God's people that's holding this country together, that's keeping this country from going into a state of chaos and war? It's the meek-minded, mercy-loving people of America that seek peace instead of war? Don't they realize that it's because God's put something in the heart of a Christian that to love peace and not war that we have the peace that we have today? My Lord, why would they? Why? They should want Christ and God and everything that goes on in this nation. But they don't see that. And it frustrates me. I would tell a little bit. I'm not mad. This country's not the country I grew up in. And it saddens me to say it never will be. It troubles me. But why shouldn't God save Nineveh? That's what he said to Jonah. He said, why shouldn't I save Nineveh? They're his creatures. He made them. He formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, the Bible says. And he breathed into him the breath of life. Don't you know that God could do the same thing? In the most ungodly, vile, wicked person that walks the streets of Little Rock? In just a moment, somebody witnessing or testifying or through the foolishness of preaching, preach under the unction of the Holy Ghost, thank God, and have the breath of life breathed into their dead soul and come alive in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Just one word. Praise God. He said, why shouldn't I save Nineveh? There's 120,000 souls And he said, and there's a bunch of cattle. He even loved the animals. It's not God's will for there to be destruction. It's God's will for there to be life. It's His will for us to enjoy life. Life. Life more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful to be in the house of God? Aren't you happy to be a member of the body of Christ and to feel the word, the Spirit of God, and to hear the Word of God and to know that it's living? Hallelujah. It'll bring life to a dead soul. Praise God. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that God called me this way. I feel for those that might have strayed. Thank God. I know God still loves them. I know God still has His hand upon them. I haven't given up on them. I'm trying not to be frustrated about it. Praise God. Let's pray for them. Let's answer the call. Let's heed the voice of the Lord and answer His call when He unctions us to testify or to be a witness or to preach or to sing. Let's do what the Lord would have us to do. When you see a need, praise God, let's just fulfill that need under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
might ought to clarify, when I mentioned Wednesday night we'd have song service, and Brother Phil and Sister Chelsea are supposed to be here because they're not going to start their honeymoon till the 22nd, I think it is, because they have to work. But I thought we would just maybe give Sister Chelsea a welcoming, and you know, give everyone a chance to get to congratulate them and welcome her to Little Rock. So after song service, we'll go downstairs and have finger food and just fellowship for a little while. That's not going to take place. We also are planning a shower for Sister Chelsea. And later, I think my wife's talking to some of the sisters about that. That's not what this is. So I just wanted to clarify that. This is just to honor and welcome Sister Chelsea, and I think that it would be a good thing. And then I wanted to announce the camp meeting DVDs are here. Brother Painter's made some copies for those of you that's requested and those of you that didn't know about it. He may or may not have an extra copy, but he can make more copies if you want one. So they're here, and we can get you copies of them if you're wanting them. I don't know, Brother Painter, what's a set? $20 for a set of old thing, old meeting. Also, the youth meeting, is it next week in Louisville? And then the 17th, the following week? Is it the following or 2 weeks later? 2 weeks later, yes. The 25th, I think it is. The 17th, I have the meeting in Montreal, Canada. But then the meeting in Wichita is I think, the 25th of July. And so, the van will be available for that trip. And if you need a way or need a place to stay, well, Brother and Sister Painter are going, and some others going that I'm sure will be willing to try to help. So just let us know how we can help you. If you want to make that meeting, you're having trouble figuring out how, we'll see if we can't help make a way. I'm looking forward for our youth to have these youth meetings. I think it's important for them, and I'm looking forward to what they bring home to us. Yes. All right. It'll leave Thursday morning. I think the meeting is Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. Is that right? After the day service, we headed back. All right, if you need more details on that, just see Brother Painter. And let's give him a praise before we go home. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name, Lord, for your goodness. These good words tonight, the good songs, Lord. Thank you for your blessings today. Go with us this week, oh God. Bless your people, Lord. Help us do your will, even in a greater way. We